Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Monuments Men by Robert M. Edsel recounts a lesser-known but pivotal World War II mission protecting Europe's cultural heritage while armies advanced and cities burned. The book follows the Allied Monuments, Fine Arts, and Archives program, a small group of museum directors, art historians, architects, and curators who traded civilian careers for military uniforms. Their task was twofold: advise commanders on sparing historic sites when possible, and track down artworks and archives stolen by the Nazis on an industrial scale. Edsel frames their work as both a moral and strategic effort, showing how culture became a battleground and how looting served ideological aims as well as personal greed. Moving from bombed cathedrals to hidden mines and castles, the narrative highlights the logistical difficulty of recovery, the hazards of operating near the front, and the urgency of returning treasures to the nations and families they were taken from. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, culture as a wartime front and why it mattered. A central topic is the idea that art, monuments, and archives were not peripheral to the war, but part of what the war was about. Edsel presents cultural heritage as a record of identity, memory, and legitimacy, and shows why its destruction or theft carried consequences beyond material loss. The Nazis targeted masterpieces, libraries, and religious objects to demonstrate dominance, reshape history, and enrich leaders and institutions. In parallel, Allied leaders faced hard choices. Rapid military objectives often conflicted with preserving historic cities and landmarks. The book explores how the monuments, fine arts, and archive specialists argued for practical steps such as mapping protected sites, advising on artillery targets, and assessing damage after liberation. This work reveals a broader ethical question: what obligations do armies have to protect humanity's shared inheritance, even when doing so introduces delays or risks? The narrative also highlights how preservation was used to signal a different vision of post-war Europe, one grounded in rebuilding rather than erasure. By treating culture as strategically significant, the book connects battlefield decisions to long-term recovery and reconciliation. Secondly, the creation and challenges of the monuments, fine arts, and archives program. Another important topic is how an unconventional military unit came into being and then struggled to operate with limited resources. The monuments men were not a large, well-funded command. They were specialists drawn from museums, universities, and the art world who had to learn military procedures, navigate chain of command realities, and earn credibility with combat units focused on immediate survival. Edsel emphasizes practical constraints: too few personnel across vast territories, minimal transport, inconsistent access to intelligence, and the constant danger of being close to active fighting. The book also portrays bureaucratic friction, where cultural protection could be viewed as a distraction, and where success depended on persuasion and relationships with commanders. Their mission required adaptability, from negotiating with local officials to coordinating with other allied agencies. This topic underlines how moral ambition must be translated into operational planning. It also illustrates how individual initiative mattered. Identifying an endangered cathedral, securing a cache of documents, or organizing emergency repairs often depended on one officer acting quickly with imperfect information. The program's history becomes a study in improvisation under pressure. Thirdly, Nazi looting systems, motives, and the scale of theft. Edsel details how Nazi looting was not random plunder but a coordinated system involving policy, ideology, and logistics. The book describes how artworks were seized from museums, churches, and private collections, often targeting Jewish families and occupied nations. This topic focuses on the machinery of theft inventories, forced sales, confiscations, and the sorting of objects for different destinations. Some pieces were intended for grand cultural projects, while others were claimed by powerful individuals, and many were traded to finance the regime. The scale demanded storage networks, transport plans, and secrecy, leading to caches in castles, monasteries, tunnels, and mines. Edsel connects these operations to broader Nazi goals, including cultural domination and the rewriting of heritage. By showing how looting followed the advance of occupation, the book makes clear that cultural crimes were embedded in wartime governance. The Monuments Men's later investigations had to unravel this system, determine provenance, and distinguish lawful ownership from coerced transactions. This topic also underscores the human dimension behind each painting or sculpture was a community or family whose history had been disrupted, making recovery an act of justice as well as preservation. Fourthly, the greatest treasure hunt: finding, securing, and cataloging hidden troves. The book's narrative momentum often comes from the search itself, locating where stolen treasures were hidden, and then protecting them from further harm. Edsel describes the practical reality of a treasure hunt conducted with military urgency. Sites could be booby-trapped, structurally unstable, or threatened by flooding, fire, or looting in the chaos of liberation. The monuments men had to verify rumors, interrogate records, follow transport trails, and respond quickly when leads emerged. Once a cache was found, the work was not over. There were problems of safe handling, emergency conservation, and documentation, along with the need to secure guarded storage and arrange transport. This topic explains how recovery depended on both detective work and careful stewardship. The book also highlights the tension between preserving fragile objects and moving them through a war-torn landscape. Each discovery raised questions: who owned these works, where should they go next, and how could they be protected during the transition from combat to occupation? The treasure hunt thus becomes a story about systems inventories, triage decisions, and chain of custody, all essential for eventual restitution. Lastly, restitution, accountability, and the post-war meaning of recovery. Beyond dramatic discoveries, Edsel emphasizes the long and morally complex process of returning cultural property. Recovery required sorting objects by nation and by rightful owner, a task complicated by destroyed records, displaced people, and the legal ambiguity created by forced sales and confiscations. This topic explores how restitution was tied to rebuilding civic life and trust. Returning a painting to a museum could symbolize national recovery, while tracing a family heirloom carried deep personal significance. Edsel also addresses the political dimensions of post-war Europe. Occupying authorities, emerging governments, and competing priorities could speed or slow restitution. The book shows that accountability was not only about punishing perpetrators, but about restoring what could be restored and documenting what was lost. It highlights the importance of provenance research and transparent record keeping, practices that remain relevant to museums and collectors today. By following the aftermath, the narrative argues that cultural recovery is not a footnote to military victory, but part of what makes victory meaningful. The work of the Monuments Men demonstrates how safeguarding heritage can support justice, education, and a shared commitment to human dignity after conflict. In conclusion, this book suits readers who enjoy narrative history, World War II studies, museum and art history, and true stories of mission-driven individuals operating in extreme conditions. It is also valuable for anyone interested in cultural preservation, ethics in conflict, and how institutions decide what to protect when everything is at risk. The benefit to a reader's life comes from perspective. It shows that courage can look like documentation, negotiation, and patient problem-solving, not only combat. It also encourages a deeper appreciation of why art and archives matter, and how quickly they can be endangered by ideology, greed, or indifference. Compared with similar WW Way books that focus mainly on battles or political leadership, Edsel's work stands out by connecting military events to the fate of cultural identity and the practical mechanics of rescue and restitution. The story is driven by real locations, real objects, and real consequences, making the stakes tangible without reducing them to trivia. If you want a compelling account of how heritage was defended and recovered amid chaos, and how those efforts still shape museum collections and restitution debates, this book is worth buying and revisiting. If you would like to support Robert M. Edsel, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.